are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. And welcome back. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Dovetails. I love it. I love that intro. I always know it's time for a good, good show. Well, praise God, because the old is gone and the new has truly come. This is a year of new beginnings and hope and restoration and replenishment and being refreshed. I know many of you listening to this show today, you need that replenishment. You're looking for hope and you're looking for restoration. You're looking for God's rest. Well, you can find it here on Dovetails. We have a wonderful lineup of guests for you, but make no mistake, these guests are courageous as they share the most intimate details of their lives. And I'm grateful because every weekend I continue to learn with amazement how God continues to integrate himself within someone's life by their permission, of course. And we love that here. And so each weekend I continue to learn and see what God is capable of when humanity welcomes them or welcomes him into their lives. What God can do with a willing heart is simply, simply remarkable. So if you have never encountered or heard about Jesus before, consider hanging out with us this sweet afternoon as we unpack the journey of my extraordinary guests in order to discover the truth together. And if it's your first time tuning into Dovetails, I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry that was birthed in my pain and my tears and my divorce and my healing when I surrendered to God's process. Many times, there's so many of us that are listening today, we fail to surrender, submit to his process, that we can trust him with our lives. But I think when we don't surrender, many times we're really saying that we're not really trusting him. Maybe we don't know him as much as we should know him so we could trust him. Folks, there is a misconception that time is the thing that heals all wounds. But I am here to tell you, folks, time doesn't heal anything. Time only tells. It only tells what you have learned. It only tells what you've done with your time. But it is only God who only heals. It is God who covers and God who loves mankind unconditionally. So DCL Ministries is about allowing the God-breathed word to thoroughly equip mankind for every good work. So if you would like to join the movement, log on to www.dclministries.com to receive the newsletter, become a guest on Dovetails, read the thought-provoking articles or the Sunday devotionals, and learn all about our featured ministries on our very own Writer's Corner. And if you did not know, we have already begun our separation and divorce series. We're doing a six-month series that started last month, and we are continuing on until the end of November. Our next show is July 29th, so tune in with us. Divorce and separation is heartbreaking, and a lot of us, if we don't watch it, we won't survive it. There's a lot of emotional navigation, a lot of compassion that is needed towards someone that's going through a divorce. That is, you really, you know, God has created two to become one. And then, so of course, when there's a separation or divorce, it's just absolutely devastating. And many times you'll hear people equate it to a death. So anyway, we thought we would take 6 months to try to unpack it and to try to talk about it, to try to understand it and to move on from it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So join us. I am also doing the show with my co-host, Rachel Kidder. And so that's just a wonderful, wonderful woman of God. She's a leader of divorce care in her church. So anyway, tune in with us at the end of this month. And then lastly, if you're looking for a good read, take a look at my book, The Women God Used. And I'm just going to read a really short excerpt from it. Women are such fascinating creatures. And if you don't believe me, have a agreement with one of them, and then let me know how you make out. Yes, I agree, we can be difficult, emotional, argumentative, assertive, bossy, dominating, but to our credit, we are also cute, cuddly, adorable, submissive, beautiful, compassionate, nurturing, and hardworking. I guess in the end, to save time, we are as a species complicated. But please tell me, who isn't? The women God used are rarely seen baking apple pie or reading a story to their children before bed. No, the women God used were clever, unconventional, strong-minded, and strategic. Today, these women would be described as the first you would pick to be on your board of advisors, but not the kind you want to meet in a dark alley after hours. These women are strong enough to drag you to the finish line, but the first to leave you if you are not pulling your weight. Yes, God handpicked complex and complicated women whose stories are not glamorous, with some of their methods being less than desirable. But they created new streams in the very dirty wasteland of sin. These biblical women forged a dynasty in biblical history and now grace the pages of the greatest story ever told to prove it. If you are not aware, these are the women God used. And this book is for all the women that have had to adjust to life, the women that had to grow into their shells and become leaders, risk takers, rebels, parents to unruly children, widows, single mothers, prostitutes, entrepreneurs, and anything else to survive in this world corroded with sin. This book will allow its readers to see a snapshot of women that didn't take no for an answer when the pitfalls of life tried to bury them into the ground. These women triumphed beyond comprehension and, despite sin crouching at their door, chose unconventional ways and made it anyway. Therefore, God, he didn't waste our time with highlighting women in the Word that were content with church as usual. No, these were women who cried for a night and, due to time constraints, had to wake up and press on toward the goal to reach the finish line. Horrible, you say? I think not. For some of them might have been annoying, but they were also anointed. And many women in the Bible are complicated, but they were also called. And many might have appeared scandalous, and yet God could trust them with trouble. This book will walk its readers through the lives of unique women that were called into a ministry, a position in history that no believer or non-believer can ignore or ever forget. I challenge the position that these women were out of place or horrible. On the contrary, they were the Sigourney Weavers of their time, the G.I. Janes of the Bible, and the movers and the shakers in their hometown. These women feared the Lord and, through his guidance, changed the hands of time and biblical history. These complicated women, smothered in their own issues, problems, and struggles, rose up despite the adversity with a double-edged sword in one hand and issues of their families in the other. These women paved a way for all who would dare to follow in their tumultuous footsteps, with a disclaimer in bold letters reading, "Buckle up your baby, because we are all in for a bumpy ride." Oh, yes, you are correct in thinking that these women were unconventional. But sin entering the world changed everything. So don't judge how these women made it through, for they are survivors, just like you and just like me. These Bible warriors screamed out to anyone that would listen, "I am a woman. Now hear me roar." Therefore, it is time to pay some respect to the women God used. The women God uses about humanity learning to let go of what they thought was going to happen and what they wanted when striving to take hold of a God-centered lifestyle in union with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is why Dovetails is delighted to have the man sometimes known as Mr. Vision, the remarkably talented and steadfast Tolu A. Akinyemi. Tolu A. Akinyemi is an out-of-the-box creative thinker, a change management agent, and a leader. Tolu is a business and financial management consultant with extensive experience working with leading investment banks and consultancy firms. He is also a personal development and career coach, as well as a prolific writer with more than 10 years writing experience and a mentor to hundreds of young people. Tolu believes to have a secure future, we must be willing to pay the price in order to earn the prize. So sit back and relax as we continue to unpack the lifestyle and choices of a man who possesses the fortitude to create because of the brilliance of our Creator, the unstoppable author and change agent, Tolu A. Akinyemi. Stay tuned.
Don't go away.
Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
This is Catherine Muse, author and founder of Defend the Faith Ministry, and you're listening to Dovetails with Deborah right here on PJC Media.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
And welcome back, and we're glad to be sharing this Sunday afternoon with you. Be sure to tune into Dovetails every Sunday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't be shy if you have a question or a comment to make during our program. Please, please, please call in. We don't claim to be an expert, but we do love discussion. So talk to us today if you have a question for our guest at 646-668-8485 and press 1 to be live on the air. Today we welcome back a tremendous man of God who believes that his gifts all come from the great teacher and counselor, Jesus Christ. He was with us a few months ago, but we just couldn't get enough. So please, please, please help me welcome back to the show my brother in Christ and friend, Tolu Akinyemi. Hi, Tolu.
Hi, Deborah. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Roaring like a lion.
Yes. I love it. I love it. Well, like I said, Tolu, you were here a couple months ago, and you were sharing your Dovetail, and you're just talking to us about your life and your background and just the gifts that the Lord has been giving you. And I knew that we needed to have you back. It, you know, the program went so quickly, and I knew that we had just scratched the surface like we do with many of our guests. So I wanted to take this time to dive into your book. You have your newly released book called Unravel Your Hidden Gems. It is a collection of inspirational and motivational essays. And I absolutely, first of all, both of your books are wonderful. Dead Lions Don't Roar, absolutely lovely. Anyone out there, please, 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 I'm just going to plug it right now. Take a look at his website at www.toluakinyemi.com. So anyway, we're going to dive into talking about your books and just getting a little bit more wisdom from you. Tolu,
okay.
Speaking of Dead Lions Don't Roar, it was inspired by the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. Your newly released book, Unravel Your Hidden Gems, are essays, like I said, to inspire people who would choose to sleepwalk through life rather than unlock the hidden gems within. As I thought about your books, I was also reminded of King Solomon, for after he saturated himself with all the desires all his riches could buy him, he exclaimed this: "The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." Tolu, in order for one to achieve all they can before becoming a dead lion or to discover their inner gems, we must, unlike Solomon, view life with a new set of eyes daily. So how can one not become bored with the mundane things of life, risking missing the discoveries of God's revelations leading to our gifts and our purpose?
Yeah, I would say it's just for us to know that there's more in us. Every individual, we have peculiar gifts and talents. So most times it's not for a lack of gifts or lack of talent that people sleepwalk through life or fail to unravel their hidden gems, but it's just because we are comfortable living our life in the motions of just like being used to being here but not making an impact. So basically, everyone has got like great gifts and talents which has been deposited into us from our birth. But we need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be able to unravel and unlock that hidden gem and be the best so that we can make an impact in our life and within our community as well.
I love that. I love that because you're really, once again, going to the root. And I think a lot of people, we have so much distraction happening in our lives. You said that many times we might not discover things because we get comfortable. And I think, you know, a lot of times when we're comfortable, when we've met the person we want to meet, when we're in the job that we wish to have, when we're driving the car and living in the community, that sometimes there's that feeling, Tolu, that we're not in need of God. I remember one time my brother said to me, oh, you know, I just want to reach out to God when I absolutely have to. And I remember thinking, no. And I told him, no, that's not accurate. You need God every moment of the day. He doesn't want to just hear from you whenever things go wrong. And so talk to us a little bit about that, because it does seem that being comfortable and somehow it's parallel to people not even thinking they need God because they only use him for one thing.
Yeah, from my own personal experience and through what I've been through, I would say, and what I've also experienced in the world, most times we feel like, as humans, we feel like most people tend to like praise God, wave holy hands when things are working for them. But in your down sitting, when things are not working, that's a question I ask people. Are you willing to trust in God when things are not working for you? Are you still happy to wave holy hands and praise the name of the Lord when it seems as if you're in a difficult situation? So it's very much easy to praise God when things are working for you, when you have that job, when, you know, everything is going on smoothly and there is no challenge at all. But for me, I would say any Christian or child of God that can also trust in God when things are not working, then that's when we have the right to be called true sons of God, when we believe in him irrespective of the situation, when we trust him even in the good and in the bad. And because I think for me, from my personal experiences, I had a situation whereby things are on the surface, they were not working, and it seems as if from one challenge to the other, but at the end of the day, even in the pain, I didn't allow anybody to pity me. I didn't allow anyone to, you know, because I trusted in God absolutely. And I knew he was the only one that could help me resolve that situation at that particular point in time. And at the end of the day, God took all of the glory. It was as if he knew that he was just trusting me, believing in me, even when on the surface it didn't really look, it wasn't making sense like that. But at the end of the day, God took the glory. So I would admonish people listening in today that it's not only when things are working that we should, you know, trust in God, believe in God, and praise his name, shout hallelujah and all that. When things are not working, are we still able to, like, put our trust in God, believe in him, believe in the power of his word and his name? So for me, I would say that is very key. Like, not just praising God, trusting him, in only the good moments, but in the days of adversity, can we still trust God? Can we still believe him? Can we still open him and say, of a truth, I know you are the Lord. Yeah, so that's why we're saying the point.
Yeah, it's as you're speaking, you know, even in difficult times of my life, how difficult it is to trust God. You know, it really tests again, like, wow, okay, Lord, I'm putting this in your hands. He says in the word to cast our cares on him. But, you know, that image of a fisherman casting his line out, like just throw it out there, just let God catch it. And, you know, it really is a testimony of the personal relationship that I think one has when we are in difficult circumstances. I think our willingness to lean on him in those moments really, really is indicative of where we're at in our relationship. A lot of you out there that are listening, I hope you have your notepad out, because Tolu, you know, he comes on the show. He truly is a lion. So, you know, he's going to be dropping these nuggets. He's going to be dropping this wisdom. Again, his book is just full of wonderful essays that you can take, you can read, you can reread. And he really is, through his own experience and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he's opening up some of the dialogue that he might have had with the Lord, and being able to actually, okay, we're gonna put this on paper. We're gonna publish this in a book so that he can impart what God has told him. Tolu, as you were speaking, it was so interesting to me, and I had thought of this a while ago, but you brought it back to me as you were speaking. When we are in the trials, when we are in the tribulation of our lives, and it looks like we might have a caller, so I'm going to finish this thought, and then we're going to connect with the caller. But I was thinking, Christ is on the cross; he's dying. It says, of course, in Peter, 2 Peter 2:24, that he bore our sins, and it's on the cross he says, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And as you were talking, Tolu, I thought about many people today that are listening, that they are suffering. Whatever it is that's going on in their life, they are suffering. They do not know which way to turn. They're not listening to people. And it's in a strange way, I thought about, you know, we know Christ knew his mission. He knew who he was. And yet on the cross, he says, "Why have you forsaken me?" And as you were talking, I thought to myself, many of us walking around today, we can't hear God. We can't feel God because of, you know, we are carrying our sins. We are feeling condemned. And at the same time, it's like God is always there. And yet when we are feeling overwhelmed, when we are feeling trampled by life, we can't see him or hear him. We can't feel him in our lives. And we're thinking he has forsaken us. Talk to us just a little bit about that before we take the caller.
Yeah, so basically I would say Romans 8:1, then there's therefore now the condemnation. Hello?
Yes, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear. Yeah. So
there was an interruption. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So in this instance, when we put our trust in God, we need to, you know, have right standing with God as well. We need to be walking rightly before him, because the name of Jesus can only work for us when we have right standing with God. So as a principle which I apply to my life as well, I always make sure I have right standing with the Father, because no matter how tall you are spiritually, if you could be like a spiritual giant, but if you live in sin, then that and once that grace of God, once it comes off, then it's you are prone to, you know, to the whims and caprices of the enemy. But if we have right standing with the Father, we abstain from sin. So I think the major issue here is that most times as Christians we want to serve God, but we are not 100%. It's one leg in, one leg out. So we are still prone to those little foxes that tends to like destroy the vine. So all the fruits of the Spirit that we ought to exhibit on a normal day, but because of sin, when we call on the name of Jesus, it doesn't work for us, and that leads to a lot of frustration. But in truth, like the Bible has said in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So no matter what, we shouldn't be living in the guilt of sin, because Christ has washed away all of our, he died on the cross that we might live. Yeah, so every of our guilt, of our sins, he has, through his death on the cross, we are alive with him. Yeah, so basically it's just for us to know that we need to have that right standing with God. Because no matter what, the devil cannot touch, you know, that's just my own belief, the devil can't touch me, because if I'm walking right with God, then I have immunity against every attack of the enemy. But if I'm prone to like living in sin, you know, then if the enemy attacks me, then I'm liable to fall. So that's my take on that.
I love when you give us, when we just have like a peek into your mind, because you always have these wonderful, rich, layered things to say. And to, again, I think about your relationship with the Lord. Those of you out there listening to what Tolu just said, I challenge you to read Psalms 91. And it just talks about that, you know, our faithfulness to the Lord, that in return for that, his faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked, but it will not come near you. So we're going to take our caller. Hello, caller. What's your name and where are you from? Hello, caller. Okay, well, I think maybe they hung up. So anyway, maybe they were just nervous. But feel free, anyone, give us a call, 646-668-8485. If you have a question for Tolu Akinyemi, we're continuing to unpack this wonderful man's journey and just his relationship, his personal relationship with the Lord. So we're going to continue on with the show. Tolu, as you expressed in the preface of your book, you have a ritual of placing your jogging trainers on each morning, full of excitement and enthusiasm. I love that. I was like, this is perfect, because I go walking all the time, and I pray to the Lord. I always go, and it's just being outside, and so I relate to that. And you say that it's during this time that the Lord provides these writing ideas, that you're just like, ooh, you're getting all this good stuff. People think you're jogging, but you're actually not. And there is something about having a good family foundation already in place, which allows a person to not only fly, but soar. And truly, Tolu, you're soaring. I am reminded of Esau with a heritage that's so rich with godly men, prayer and obedience in his line. And, of course, their obedience is to the Lord Almighty, and that he, too, could go out into the country air as a skillful hunter. There's something wonderful when the generation before you and the generation before that has really paved the way so that you could go out and make time for God. You're not, you know, trying to figure out this or that. And so, Tolu, in both of your books, you speak about the unwavering support of your family. I'd love for you to just talk to us or talk to our listeners about them and why it's so important as an ingredient in the foundation of purpose and destiny.
Yeah, for me, I would say family played a pivotal role in my foundation, because most of the inspiration in my books and everything was as a result of the teachings from my parents, my father, but while growing up, you know, all the inspiration, the advice and the nuggets. So I think having that right foundation with God is very important, because it sets you, like, it gives like a form of standard for you to follow. So while growing up, I think while I was in business, I was observing my immediate environment, taking all those advice, words, and those inspiration and motivation, taking them in and learning from them and choosing in my own way to be a better person. So I would say, because the Bible says if the foundation is weak, the righteous cannot do anything. So we need like a solid foundation as well in terms of family. My parents, they did like a very good job in terms of our upbringing, teaching us in the way of the Lord, grooming us to know the Lord and to love the Lord. And I would say this has actually helped me in, like, it's helped me in a whole lot to be who I am today. Because if the foundation, as it were, if it was weak, then I won't be where I am today. So that's why I would say in that regard. So, well, it's one thing to like have a good family to learn from, have good parents to teach you and for you to take in those instructions. Is another thing for one also to exhibit that attitude of willingness to learn. You know, you need. So I would say God has also helped me to be able to like take in those advice, inspiration from family, and develop on it to be a better person as well. So it works both ways, having a good family and the individual themselves like resolving in their minds to be able to like take on board all the teachings, the admonishments, and all the learning is here to be a better person. So that's what I would say on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I so agree. Family is so very important. But Tolu, there's many listening today. They might not have a traditional family. Maybe they have only their father raising them or only their mother raising them. Perhaps they're not married. Maybe they're lonely. Maybe the Lord in some ways has consecrated them and they're, you know, they're not necessarily always around like-minded people. But at the same time, what advice would you give someone that also, you know, they're striving for their purpose, they're striving for their destiny, and yet they don't have that traditional family source. They don't have that encouragement. They don't have, or what they feel that they don't have, that rock solid foundation. What would you advise for them?
Yeah, basically for someone who I would say basically number one, we look up to Jesus, then as a touch on that, because someone may feel that far away. I think what we need is to resolve within our heart as well on what we want to achieve with our lives, on purpose, on living a purposeful life, on being the best, you know. So if you don't have that privilege of having family around you, it doesn't really affect you, or it doesn't really mean you cannot live a purposeful life. Family is not like 100% criteria for living a life of purpose and all that. So you can still be the best in whatever you do. Just all about believing in yourself, trusting in the Lord, believing in your capabilities that you can have a meaningful life and live a life of purpose. So basically, having a good family is great, but with or without family, lean on to God and also believe in your own heart that you can be the best and you can live a life of purpose.
Amen, amen. Oh, amen, amen. Amen. Such nuggets of joy. Some of you out there, you're listening, and Tolu is saying these amazing things, and you might be thinking, but how? How do I do that? I read this book called Celebration of Discipline. I've read the book over and over and over. And what I love, you know, sometimes I look at the word discipline and it scares me because, you know, it's something that I personally have to do. I have to succumb. I have to allow my flesh to not rise above my spirit and to take control over my life. But what I love about this book is the word before, it's celebration. That sometimes, those of you listening, you're wondering, how do I do that? That sometimes, once you choose to be a follower of Jesus Christ, when we say that we are a disciple of Christ, that means we've already chosen to follow his will. We've already chosen to follow in his way. We've already chosen to commit to the gospel. We've already chosen to be a witness for Christ. And so once you've chosen, this is where you can apply what Tolu is saying. But if you are floundering, if you're not sure, maybe sometimes you want to listen to God and sometimes you don't. Maybe sometimes you are running to friends for answers that only God can give. No wonder you're feeling you're being thrown to and fro. So keep in mind, sometimes we can't always convince you to believe. You must believe, and then you'll see the application flood you like a tsunami. So keep those things in mind as you're journeying through your life right now, and you're wondering, how can I unravel the gems of my life? How can I unravel what is hidden? And Tolu keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again. Jesus, go to Jesus, go to the source. But sometimes we miss those words and we just want the hand of God on our lives, and yet we don't want to commit. It's, you know, sometimes we want to be married, but we really don't want to be a wife, right? So keep those things in mind. Keep those things in mind. One goes with the other. So we're going to take a really, really short break, and we are going to continue dissecting and unpacking and unveiling this wonderful man of God, Tolu A. Akinyemi, his newly released book, Unravel Your Hidden Gems. He is also a prolific writer and more than 10 years writing experience. He's also trained in economics with a master's degree in accounting and financial management. Please take a look at his website as we interview him today, www.toluakinyemi.com. And that's A-K-I-N-Y-E-M-I, www.toluakinyemi.com. When we come back, we are going to jump into how to unravel our hidden gems. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
This is Carla Cook, daughter of the legendary Sam Cook, on tour now with wondrous stories, the life and music of my father, Sam Cook. You can find me at carlacook.com. Remember, that's Cook with an E. And follow my Facebook page at The Carla Cook. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at The Carla Cook. I hope to see you soon on stage in a city near you.
Hey, y'all, this is your bro, Robbie Newborn. You are tuned in to the Dovetails radio show, hosted by the truest, straightforward, God-fearing, loving host, Deborah Lassiter. So stay blessed, stay tuned. Come on, y'all.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
Yay, we are back, and you are tuning into Dovetails. So excited that you decided to join us this afternoon. We have a wonderful treat as we welcome back our special guest, Tolu Akinyemi. He was born in Ado Ekiti, Nigeria. He now resides in the UK and is an out-of-the-box creative thinker, personal development, and career coach working with leading investment banks and consulting firms. Again, take a look at his website at www.toluakinyemi.com and his newly released book, which we're going to talk about now, titled Unravel Your Hidden Gems. It is a collection of inspirational and motivational essays. Tolu, as a child, my mother would always say, be prepared, be prepared, be prepared for the blessings when it comes. I noticed that chapter one of your book is titled, Are You Prepared? I love that. You highlight in this chapter the 10 virgins, or at least in the beginning of the essay, the 10 virgins in Scripture who were waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom. 5 had enough oil and 5 did not. Tolu, I have found two things. Either folks spend their time and energy focused on the wrong things,
or they are focused so much on arriving to the destination only to not be prepared fully when they get there. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so for me, basically, preparation is the first order condition to attain success. And like you pointed out, most times we fail to prepare. We want miracles, but we don't put in the effort. We want God to bless the work of our hands, but in truth, there's no works for God to bless because of our unpreparedness. So that was why I felt that essay was the most befitting for the book to start the book with. Are you prepared? Because preparation is quite key. For you to attain anything in life, you have to be prepared. You have to put in the works because faith without works is dead. So most times we have faith that can move mountains, but there are no works. So that's the reason, that's the thinking and reason behind that essay, that there's nothing you can achieve in life without being prepared. And we have to show our preparation. We have to put in the work before we expect the blessings.
It's so funny because prior to me understanding God or understanding the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say more, the third person in the Trinity, I thought there was something wrong with preparation. And I know that sounds bizarre. Because I thought, wow, maybe there's something wrong with me that I need to prepare. I need to be prepared. And I remember feeling in my heart, like, is there something wrong with it? Does that mean that the Holy Spirit is not moving through me? Because, you know, we have to be ready when the Holy Spirit wants to say something, that we don't allow our preparation to take over and not let the Spirit move. And I think for myself, that's what I learned, that there's nothing wrong with preparation. Absolutely prepare. Yeah. However, when the Holy Spirit wants to move, he takes your preparation and he brings it alive. All the studying and maybe all the things that you're learning, that you're adding to your toolbox out there, Holy Spirit will take all of that scripture memorization. He will take those things written on the tablet of your heart. And then when you're speaking, when you're testifying, when you're witnessing, then Holy Spirit says, we're going to take what you did. We're going to take your preparation, and now I'm going to illuminate it. Now I'm going to bring it to life. I'm going to take it off the pages, and now we're going to talk to someone, or maybe you're going to be ministering to yourself. So keep that in mind if you're like me and you're just, you know, you're thinking, oh, no, I'm preparing once again. Is there doubt and fear in all this? But keep that in mind as we can, you know, continue to unravel Tolu's book. But there's nothing wrong with preparation. As you heard Tolu say, preparation is key. It's key to be familiar with what it is you're doing. Tolu, I wanted to talk about, you know, anyone out there, you've gotten his book. We're talking, whoosh, this is a thick book. We're close to 400 pages for this wonderful, wonderful book, you know. And there's discipline involved in writing. It's not as easy as what people think. And, you know, the books that I've written come nowhere close to 400 pages. And, you know, once again, when I marvel at authors, you know, and their commitment, as we're talking about preparation, Tolu, I find a lot of people, they want, as you said, the blessings of the Lord on their life. They want the miracles, but they don't want the work. Talk about fully committing to the dream. Many people say, oh, God placed on my heart to write a book. And yet they never come out of the analyzation stage to the doing stage. And then when they begin to do it, they might say, well, Lord, I've been writing for 3 weeks, and I just thought that I would write this book in, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is that the person is thinking. There's a commitment that goes. There's a preparation that goes into writing. Talk to us about committing and the sacrifice it takes to make a dream or manifest a dream.
Yeah, so for me, I would say to make a dream and manifesting that dream takes a lot of discipline. Takes a lot of commitment. In our everyday life, we face quite a lot of distractions. We also have excuses to say we don't have enough time, most people have like day jobs they go to. They have different things to do within the 24 hours. So we always have excuses why that gift, that talent, we feel to unravel, because we feel, oh, I don't have enough time. I'm so busy at work. I can't pursue my own personal goals and ambition and talent. Yeah, but I would say, first of all, we have to exhibit what I call self-discipline. We have to be disciplined. We have to have that focus. So being focused is quite key. When you have a dream, you have a vision, you have a goal, you have to go for it. You have to go all out for it to achieve that dream. We have to quit and shun procrastination, because for me, I would say most times, people have great dreams, but procrastination it's been a big issue. I've worked with people as well whereby they want to turn out something, you know, we set an agreement and they keep procrastinating and you know, when you keep on postponing till tomorrow never comes around. So I would say if you're committed to a life vision, just do it. Try everything within your power. There is a lot of distraction on social media, you know, in our current climb, a lot of things distract us, but we need to be focused. And when you have that idea, try and document it as well. So if you have a vision, make it plain upon tables, like Habakkuk 2 has rightly said, because when you document it, for instance, when I go jogging early in the morning and I have any idea, inspiration, I when I get home, I write it down immediately so I don't forget. So the same thing also applies to our goal and vision. If an idea drops in your mind on what you need to do to move to the next level, you have to document it so that you don't forget, and you have to show enough commitment, because dreams are not just born on the altar of wishful thinking. You have to be committed. You have to go all out for it to achieve. You have to just do it. You want to write a book, just do it. You want to start a business, it doesn't have to be perfect at that initial stage, but just keep on writing. Keep on, you know, just start out first, then every other thing will fall into the rightful place. So, but I would say just start anyhow. Like I said in one of the essays in the book, just start anyhow. Don't wait for perfect conditions. Just start, then things will smoothen out along the way. You'll make mistakes. You'll learn from those mistakes and all that. Yeah, but the first step is just to start, and along that line, we have to be disciplined and we have to be committed as well. We don't have to and at times we will face challenges that will shake us and all that. But just keep going. Don't be moved by what people say. There will be a lot of opinions on why people feel what you're doing doesn't make sense. People may talk you out of your vision, out of your dream, but just keep going for it. Just keep doing what you want to do. Be focused. Don't let the opinion of others define you from working in your own life's vision. Yeah, so that's what I would say.
Mm. Oh my goodness, you're full of such good stuff. I love that. Any of you out there that are listening, if you want to understand the benefits of being in union with Christ, being in union with Christ, you become more of who you are. You understand who you are. And so when he lays a vision, when he lays a dream on you, I hope you heard what Tolu said. People may talk you out of your vision. But see, in alignment with Christ, when you know who you are, when you remain in him and he remains in you, when you understand that, someone can't talk you out of your vision. They can say, they might have an opinion, and everyone's entitled to an opinion. But I'm telling you, in union with Christ, you know who you are. You might have bad days. You might even be crying. But I tell you this, you know who you are in Christ. And you know your limits. My good friend Julie says that. I know my limits. So, and keep that in mind as Tolu is just expressing these nuggets. He's elaborating on these essays for us. We're in for a treat today, people. I hope you're getting this. In congruence with what we're talking about, I wanted to read Habakkuk. I love this scripture when it just talks about
the vision and a dream. So it says, write down the revelation. You writers out there, write down the revelation. The Lord knew that writers, of course, are going to be looking at this and saying, oh, my goodness, God told me to write it down. Yes, he did. He's telling you right now. Write it down. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. Again, another thing that my good friend Julie always, she knows that I'm always talking about God's appointed time. It waits for an appointed time. So again, this is, Tolu is saying this, that preparation, we're talking about preparation, but it has to still wait for an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Many of you out there, you've written books. You're doing wonderful things. I mean, you're progressing along and you're wondering, well, God, how come none of this is, no one knows about it? Because it waits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end. God is saying to you right now, and those of you out there with these gorgeous gifts that God is just stirring up inside of you, it's waiting for an appointed time. God's saying, I'm showing you what the end result will be. I need you to keep working. I need you to stay committed. I need you to keep preparing for the blessing that will come, right? Because that's our trust in the Lord. That's us saying God's promises are real in my life. And just because no one out there knows about the promises, it doesn't mean that God is not going to bring it to fruition. God is one that is true to his word. And so when he's true to his word, he's telling you, I already have an appointed time for this. I just need you to keep preparing. I need to keep training and coaching and pruning, right? So keep that in mind. The next question that I have for you, Tolu, I want to read an excerpt from your book. Again, we talked about people wanting the blessings of God on their life, and yet many struggle with celebrating others. In your book, you have a title, a chapter or an essay titled Celebrate People, and you say this, my question for you today is, do you celebrate the success of others? Are you envious of the success of your friends, neighbors, and colleagues? Do you, as a fact, think the success and accomplishment of a friend is not deserved? Talk to us about this.
I would say that was inspired by Romans 9:16. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy upon, and compassion on whom I will have compassion upon. It is not of him who willeth, neither of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So most times in life, we are what we are by the grace of God, and it's not by power, neither by might. So most times, a lot of people fall into, when they see other people around them progressing, for no just cause, people hit on others, try and bring others down for no reason at all. So, but I grew up in a family, especially my dad, he taught us to celebrate other people. So when we see other people who have accomplished great things in our immediate environment, he celebrates with them, he rejoices with them, he doesn't eat on others for no cause. And I, from his life, I saw that the more he celebrated others, the more doors began to open for him as well. So because when you have bitterness in your heart towards other people, you are like blocking that conduit pipe to work into your own blessings. So I think for as a principle in life, it is pertinent that when we see people around us who are doing great things, even if we can't encourage them, we shouldn't try and bring them down. We should try as much as possible to celebrate other people. The fact that somebody else, like what you said, everybody has their own appointed time in life. So the fact that you are not yet working your own appointed time does not mean it will not come. And it doesn't mean that those who are already within their own appointed time, that we should bring them down. Because bringing them down would not in any way, like it doesn't help us or it doesn't boost us at all. So that's a lesson that I passed on in that essay, that we should learn to celebrate other people's successes. When people around us are moving forward, let's rejoice with them. By doing that, we open up the channel of God's blessings even upon our own lives. Thank you.
It's funny. I think that you give this example in the book, and it's such a fitting example. A woman who is barren and is looking for the fruit of the womb must not be envious of other people's children. It's amazing, you know, because people do not understand how God works, that God is the great supplier, that there's room for everyone at the top, that just because someone else
has something, it doesn't mean that it actually is taken from you, that somehow dangling in the sky, there's only a couple million children that are available, and if you don't have a child, you know, I'm telling you, like, there's only two or three left dangling up there, and so we're envious. And I'm glad that I made you laugh. Yes. But, you know, a lot of times we're thinking that, you know, this promotion, it's mine. And so we will beat people over the head. We will show a character inside of us that surfaces when we want something, when we have this selfish desire. And then what happens is when someone looks and says, wait a minute here. You are one that is an advocate for people, you know, getting jobs. You are one that loves to make sure that people are financially stable. You are one that is always pushing education. And yet when someone gets accepted into an Ivy League college, and yet when someone has a child, and yet when someone is celebrating their praise victory, we're jealous, we're envious, and we can't celebrate them. I mean, that's, what a hard pill to swallow. And you know what's so sad is a lot of times some of you out there, you're listening, you've had this happen to you, and yet some of you out there listening, you're actually doing this. And I just want us to take a moment to even think about the look on that person's face that you cannot celebrate. It could be a family member. It could be a coworker. Maybe you're a person that wants so badly to get out of your job right now, and a coworker comes in and says, I found my dream job. I'm putting in my 2 weeks' notice. And all you can give to them is venom. All you can give to them is venom. I mean, just and the person's like sitting there like, why is it that I'm feeling so good right now, but I'm made to feel that I should feel horrible? Because somehow me getting what I've been wanting is detrimental to you. So then you force a person to have to hide it. You force a person to have to sort of act like it's nothing big because you won't celebrate them. I'm telling you, you got to read this book. It's giving such gorgeous, gorgeous essays. Tolu, I said to you even before we started the show today that one thing when I was cultivating my personal relationship with the Lord, I remember Proverbs being my favorite book. And in some ways, I don't know why I relate this to a sniper, but it's sort of like terminology of a sniper. I needed short, controlled bursts of scripture. I didn't need lengthy scripture. If someone was about to tell me a story, I just was too emotionally unstable. I needed short, controlled pieces of scripture packed with wisdom, packed with understanding, but it had to be like one line. You know what I mean? Like, please don't talk to me too long because I don't know if I can listen, right? And I feel like your book is like this. Now that I'm more mature as a Christian, I can take an essay. I couldn't take an essay 15 years ago. But your book is rich and flavorful. And it gives, you know, wonderful application. It's such a great book, and it's timeless. And
thank you.
Sorry, I had to say that. So I feel like your book really, for those of you out there that you're looking for something in addition to your Bible, it's not in lieu of the Bible, okay? It's in addition to the Bible, you know, that you need something to just give you practical ways, things to think about. Definitely take a look at his book, Unravel Your Hidden Gems. And Tolu, you're so humble. You're such a wonderful, humble spirit. The things that you've accomplished in your life, you would never know that unless someone like me that wants to just pour goodness all over you, that at this point they know all the things that you've done in your life. In your book, because you're the opposite of this, you talk about ego. Oh my goodness, the destruction of ego and when it's entangled in a person's character. You also go to the point of talking about how ego has many children. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, so for me, I would say ego has brought down many kings. Many people who should be living in the palace, who have glorious destinies, but because of their ego, because most times as men or at times women, we don't want to take correction, we don't listen to other people. So ego has brought down a lot of people. And the message in that essay is that ego is a time bomb. Because when you don't take corrections, you don't listen to others, you are self-centered, you attach a sort of self-importance to yourself, and you're not humble enough, then it could be catastrophic in that because you are not oblivious of happenings around you, you don't listen to other people, and you feel you are more than who you truly are, then that's a disaster waiting to happen. Because the day that ego crashes right into, especially for us men, you know, most times you feel, because I'm the man, I'm the head of the home, and I don't listen to any other person, is my authority, or, you know, all this kind of thinking along that pattern. And, you know, we wear our ego as a garment and say, oh, a man loves his ego. But the lesson in that essay is that through that ego, well, you could love your ego, but ego is a time bomb. You have to be humble. In anything we do in life, we have to wear the garment of humility, because we are what we are by the grace of God. So it's not just, no matter what you accomplish, we need to stay in touch with our humanity. We need to, when Apostle Paul, you know, he had a buffer that when he felt like, God, take this out, you know, it's causing him so much pain and all that, but God said it was just to keep him in constant touch. So with the grace came the pain, because without that pain to remind him that, oh, you're just a normal human being, he would have misbehaved. And that's the truth. We need to, like, as human beings, no matter our position in life, no matter our accomplishments, we need to stay in touch with our humanity. We need to stay, you know, within that level whereby we can, even if nobody's calling us to order, we can call ourselves to order to say, oh, come on, Tolu, I've stepped off the mark in this area. I need to apologize, or I need to come off my high horse, and, you know, so that's a lesson in that for everyone who has this ego or who has this kind of self-importance, that they only want to hear their own voices. They don't want to listen to any other person. Ego is a time bomb, and it has destroyed so many people, so many marriages, so many relationships that could have been fruitful, but because of our ego, our arrogance, and we don't want to take corrections. So that's what that essay, and the fact that we should always stay in touch with our humanity and just remain humble no matter what, who we are, our position, you know, in every sphere of life.
You know, I'm reminded as you speak, I remember watching this 007 movie, I think it was called Casino Royale, and the scene was they had gotten 007 to buy into this gambling sort of thing. And it was really, they were trying to trap this terrorist. So he gambled a lot. And so they had 007 buy in. Long story short, the person financing this whole escapade, she realized that 007 had an ego. And she looked at him and says, it's your ego that got you into this. And it's that same ego that cannot take it. And it's interesting because after a while, the scenario is not even the person's not even aware of the scenario anymore. It's really about them. It's about them winning. Yeah. Like, I don't want you to think that you're better than me, or whatever the personal situation is. I want to read from your essay, because you say something so, you know, beautiful in this, and I think that the listeners need to hear it. Ego has been discovered as a time bomb that has the potential to destroy the carrier. Ego has destroyed many relationships, made many jobless, closed many doors that could previously have been opened. Ego has turned kings into forgotten men and princes into servants. It has the capacity to make the wise foolish and the intelligent stupid. I have heard different cliches during wedding ceremonies that a man loves his ego and the woman should do all within her power to massage that ego and not bruise it. But it is still that same ego which has destroyed many men, an inability to admit their mistakes and pronounce the five-letter word, sorry. I love that. I love that, because sometimes folks, we can get so immersed into the culture that we have been born into, that we attach ourselves to cliches that we might hear that we don't fully understand. And what we find ourselves doing is coming into agreement with something that is ungodly, that a woman massaging her husband's ego, massaging it, propping it up, making sure that it's still it's alive and fruitful. And it's his ego. And then they wonder why he can't say he's sorry. He can't say he's sorry. That movie, I think it's called Love Story, it says love means not having to say you're sorry. Who wrote that script? I don't know. I was quite confused when I most recently watched it for the first time in my life. But I was like, love means having to say you're not sorry. I'm like, oh my goodness, I say I'm sorry all the time, right? Like, when did love mean that you're not fallible, that you're not going to make mistakes? Oh my goodness, it's crazy. But anyway, let's move on, because Tolu has a 400-page book here, and we haven't even hit the surface. No, we're coming. We have about another 30 more minutes into our program, but I wanted to jump around different areas of your book, because you know you have there's so much texture, I'm going to say, in your book. There's so many things that you speak about, so many life situations, and it's funny because I know that the core inside of you, you have such a dedication and a love for the Lord. And you can see throughout your book what God has instructed you on, and obviously through personal situation, experience, taking a look at friends and celebrating people, not celebrating people, being prepared, not being prepared. You know, you can really see the diversity of essays that you have in this book. So the next one that I wanted to talk about is your friend who believes in Darwin's theory. I thought that was very interesting, and he just was not convinced that he had discovered enough to believe in God. Talk to us about that. It's funny. I'm gonna delay saying the title of this chapter, but go ahead.
We cannot all be fools.
Yes, right.
So I think what brought about the inspiration of that chapter was I know that, you know, a lot of people that don't have any religion or atheist, or they just don't believe in God and all that, but for the large majority of the world, you know, we believe there's a certain force that controls the universe. A lot of people believe in God, the Christians, Muslims, you know, and so what brought about that essay was just that we can't all be fools. We can't just all around the world, we're all celebrating Christmas, Easter. It wouldn't just happen that way, that we all from generation to generation, then we've all be taken for a ride. And I think in conclusion, I said, well, I would rather prefer to have been a fool serving God than to be on the other side to say, oh, this is all a facade, it's unreal. Because Even when that particular friend, you know, he had, like, when God stepped into situation for him, he still believed it was just natural. It wasn't poor, only because he could not see what I was seeing at that point in time. So basically, there's a power that controls the universe. There's a God that we all call on, and our life, we are not here by accident. And I've also seen the power of God so much to know that in truth, this God is real. It's not, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And yeah, you know, so that beginning, nobody, no theory of science, no theory of man can erase or can make us to believe that, oh, there's no God, no matter the influence of social media or the times, the changing times and all that. They see God who controls the universe, and that's the honest truth.
I praise the Lord. I truly do. I just, you know, for those of you out there listening, and maybe you're challenged on what you believe in, and that's okay. You know, one thing that I've been learning is God is not afraid of questions. People are.
Yeah.
People are afraid because they don't know the answers. But God will have God is welcoming your questions, and he will meet you where you are at. I love Tolu. You know, you quoted John, the Gospel of John. And can you imagine, those of you out there listening, that God spoke and the world came into existence? That he spoke. And creation was waiting, gasping, wanting to be alive. He spoke, and it started to flourish. It started to begin. Those of you out there that are listening, Darwin's theory is that atoms in motion, that's how we came to be, atoms in motion. But there wasn't really necessarily a plan. It's just through science, you know, the atoms that are moving, it was just inevitable that the planet was just formed, and the flowers and the way our bodies work, that somehow evolution came and, you know, apes turned into people. And it's like you really sort of sit there, and even though, you know, you might listen to that and you might say, well, I can see that happening. You know, one thing is, God is self-existent. He needs nothing outside himself to exist, nothing. He didn't call himself into existence. God is just here. He is the great I am. Oh, hallelujah. He doesn't need anything outside himself to exist, nothing.
Yeah.
And so when I think of how my body works, when I think of my hair color and my skin color, how did atoms in motion create that? How did atoms in motion choose male versus female? How did atoms in motion choose the languages that are in abundance in this world? And so when I think about God purposing me being created, oh, I choose to lean on the one that wanted me to be here and not atoms in motion that just I ended up being here. I want you to think about that. Think about that. You were purposed here. There's a reason why you were created. I don't care if your mother was raped. I don't care that if you came into this world in a way that you feel unwanted. There is a reason why you are here. I'm telling you, check out the one that created you, because he's got the blueprint. He's got the plan. Oh, I challenge you. Oh, I challenge you. Please call in if you have questions. 646-668-8485. We're going to take a very, very short break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about grace. We are interviewing a wonderful man of God. He is the author of Dead Lions Don't Roar, another wonderful book. And, of course, the newly released book, Unravel Your Hidden Gems. Be sure to take a look at his website at www.toluakinyemi.com. You can also find him on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on YattiCooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at YattiCooks.com. Let's get cooking.
Hi, I'm Sherry with the Lemonade Stand. As the weather warms, your risk of exposure to mosquito and tick-borne illnesses increases. Please keep these tips in mind when outdoors. Wear light-colored clothing, apply repellent, avoid high grassy areas, check yourself after returning, and remove any attached ticks promptly, only with a tick removal device or tweezers, avoiding any home remedies. This has been a community service announcement courtesy of the Lemonade Stand.
Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
And we are back, and you are tuning in to Dovetails. Please be sure to hang out with us every Sunday, 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are in for a treat, 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 because we are continuing our interview with our wonderful guest, Tolu A. Akinyemi. Please check out his website at www.toluakinyemi.com. And again, you can find him on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, on all the social media sites. Tolu Akinyemi was born in Ado Ekiti, Nigeria, now residing in the UK, is an out-of-the-box creative thinker, personal development, and career coach, working with leading investment banks and consulting firms. And he is a trained economist with a master's degree in accounting and financial management. Tolu, we've been really just sort of going through your book and pulling out different essays that you've written in this gorgeous book. Again, folks, Unravel Your Hidden Gems, collection of inspirational and motivational essays. One of your essays is about God, is about the grace of God. And you say in this essay, grace is the secret to supernatural living. God's grace is sufficient for us to function on this earth. Talk to us about this essay.
Yeah, for me, I would say God's grace is overall, because many times in life, we tend to live our lives based on our intellect, based on our own ideologies. We try to go through the motions, thinking our ability can help us surmount our life's challenges. But when we rest everything on the Lord, when we cast all of our cares onto Him, then He's able to help us resolve the knotty issues. Yeah, because I've been in situations whereby I was trying to look for solutions left, right, and center, but I forgot the place whereby I had to wait on the Lord and believe in Him and, seek His direction on what to do. And at the end of the day, I came back to that place of grace, whereby God's grace coming through for me effortlessly. So most times in life, we try and if I had taken that route of just knowing God's plan for me at that particular point in time, I would have, saved time trying to look for alternatives, trying to resolve my issues through my own solutions. But I think it was just God sitting down, watching me and saying, you are coming back to me, you are coming back, because this will not be resolved based on your own ability. It won't be resolved based on the people you think that can help you. And so even then, I put in all of my best effort, but it just didn't work until I aligned myself to work in line with the will of God and according to His commands. Then I got the result I wanted. So grace is just trying to tell people that we can achieve much more when we choose to walk in the grace of the Lord, because His grace is sufficient for us, even our own weakness. So we need God's grace. Many times in life, the difference between the person who you feel has more mileage than you is just grace. That's why, the essays, they kind of interlink as well. When you see someone who is successful around you and you think, he's not deserving, he's not this, he doesn't merit it, but it's the grace of God that is working for them. And once you are in alignment with the grace of God, everything becomes easy for you. The things that others do and they struggle to achieve, because you are walking in grace, it becomes effortless. You tend to move faster, move forward in life. But we need God's grace. We need God's grace to achieve in life, to move forward, to make all of our dreams come true. Because many times people tend to use our ability, use our intellect. Then when we run out of ideas, then we run back to God. But it should be us trusting God first, then trusting God and watching work out for you, rather than the other way around, trying to exhaust all opportunities or avenues to do it our own way, then running back to God when all our options have failed us.
Oh my goodness, so good, so good, so good. I'm guilty of sometimes in my prayers, I say, Lord, give me grace for today. And those of you out there that, again, if you're like me, know that when you were born, before you were born, you were predestined, and the Lord gave you grace for your life. He knows what your purpose is. He knows what your destiny is. And so because He already knows that in His omniscience, He knows this, you have grace for what you were called to fulfill. It's up to us to draw from that.
And so there's not necessarily grace for today, right, for this individual day. But God's like, I've given you all that you need. That's why my grace yeah. is sufficient for thee. That's why it is. And so, you know, I'm telling you, when you read this book, know that God does not send you out into the world without training you up in your purpose first. This book and the gorgeous essays, these are lessons that Tolu has been learning. These are things that he has been experiencing and going through, and he has imparted them to you in this wonderful book of essays. I mean, you can digest each one. You can put the book down and pick it up the next day and read another essay. You can, it's that easy. But make no mistake, he's not just sort of, you know, making sure that he's tinkling and dazzling your ear, you know, with flipsy, flopsy things. No, these are lessons. These are wisdom. This is the things that he's been learning in his life, and they're in alignment with the Lord. So I pray that you will get this book. It's a wonderful book to add to your library, people. We're coming to the end of our program, Tolu. Talk to us about, give us your final thoughts. I know that you have two more books coming up, and I think you're writing a children's book. Talk to us where we can find you next and what's going on with you.
Yeah, so basically my next project, the next one coming out in September is Dead Dogs Don't Bark.
What
you don't
is
buy that.
Dead Dogs Don't Bark?
Dead Dogs Don't Bark, yeah. Inspirational.
God definitely gives you the title.
So that's the sequel to Dead Lions Don't Roar, and it's going to be a powerful one as well. It's finished and currently in production. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And the next one after that is Fables of Tolu Toludo. So that's a children's storybook, and it's inspirational and motivational book of wisdom for children as well, so that we can catch them young from their early stages. We can teach them wisdom, teach them etiquette, you know, just general inspiration that they can always refer to. In terms of, you know, general values, like unravel your hidden gems, but in something for children. Yeah, so those are my next two projects, and the children's storybook will be out next year by God's grace. But Dead Dogs Don't Bark will be out in September, and that's also a very powerful book that would, even though it's a poetry collection, it's going to be so inspirational and so good. Yeah, so looking forward to that.
Well, we are so very proud of you, so very proud of you, so glad to have you on this program. I am continuing to pray for just your prosperity and pray for your family, the foundation that the Lord has already given you, and just again for favor and increased status. God willing, you are right that for your books to continue to come out and just bless people and to give them encouragement and to give them hope and to give them instruction. A lot of times we shy away from instruction, Tolu, but I really feel like your books are instructing. They're really giving wonderful, and I keep calling them nuggets because, you know, I like the short control bursts. So
yeah.
I love that. And so we want nothing but the best for you. I want nothing but the best for you and your family, your wonderful children and your beautiful wife. And please, everyone, keep on your calendars September for his next book coming out. But in the meantime, pick up Dead Lions Don't Roar. It's a wonderful book as well. And then, of course, Unravel Your Hidden Gems for just bookings and conversation and reaching out to Tolu. Take a look at his website at www.toluakinyemi.com. I wanted to end this program with, again, another entry for Jesus Calling. I just love this book. And it's by Sarah Young. It's funny, on LinkedIn, someone posted a Sarah Young entry, and I was like just all giddy because I'm like, I have that book. So it is my go-to. It's just a wonderful daily devotional, and it just gives you food for thought. It's a little bit of a brain teaser. It just helps you start your day or end your day or perhaps you are on a lunch break and you just need a little pick-me-up. You need some scriptures to look up. So it's just a wonderful book, to small enough to take with you in your bag for the day. Anyway, I'm going to read the entry for today. I am life and light in abundance. As you spend time soaking in my presence, you are energized and lightened. Through communing with me, you transfer your heavy burdens to my strong shoulders. By gazing at me, you gain my perspective on your life. This time alone with me is essential for unscrambling your thoughts and smoothing out the day before you. Be willing to fight for the precious time with me. Opposition comes in many forms, your own desire to linger in bed, the evil one's determination to distract you from me, the pressure of family, friends, and your own inner critic to spend your time more productively. As you grow in your desires to please me above all else, you gain strength to resist these opponents. Delight yourself in me, for I am the deepest desire of your heart. Until next time, please, please keep sharing your dovetail, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in, and to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.